Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
Alrighty, you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio. And this is Frank on Target, and I'm here with Airgun Angie. And Airgun Angie is a celebrity that's been on the station numerous times, and she always comes with a unique perspective and all kinds of interesting stories for us. And right today, I think we want to discuss women's participation in outdoor sports. Angie, say hello and get ready to fillet the skin off my back.
Well, from what you're saying, it might feel better than what your back does right now. Hello.
Oh my!
This is going to be fun.
Oh, this is going to be
a great topic.
Yeah. and a little background, and I have one biological child, and she is a woman, and as I've described in the past, she is a force to be reckoned with. She works for the federal government in law enforcement, and she's an SOB, man. I gotta tell you something. I don't want to be on the ugly end of her wrath. Okay. She used to work in the inner city before she went with the government, and I know she has actually grabbed the antenna on the radio and laid the radio aside somebody's head, because they had it coming. All right, but anyway, so much for gender equality. I am a big proponent of gender equality, but I have issues, and I guess we'll get there sooner or later. But Angie, tell me about what you're doing and what you're working with women's groups and stuff like this.
So we had a little conversation before this about women's groups and how I enjoy, like, I organize women's hunts, and it's all women. And I've had a lot of guys tell me, what if I just put a wig and a skirt on? Can I join you guys? We're not even out there in skirts. Most of us don't wear wigs, but it's not because I think that I'm not a girl power kind of woman. I don't think anything guys can do, I can do better because I'm a girl. I don't think anything like that. I just know that I love to hunt. My husband loves to hunt too, but not everything that I love to hunt. I want to go coyote hunting. It's not right for me to go make a post on Facebook and say, hey, any groups of guys out there going coyote hunting? Can I go with you? It's just, it wouldn't be. I mean, if it's people that, you know, like if it was my brother or my son, or, I mean, people that I know really well, then that might be okay. But for the most part, I don't know anybody close to me that does that kind of thing. So in the moment right now, I'm actually going to be learning how to coyote hunt so that I can take these ladies out there and we can do it regularly. And there's not going to be any jealous husbands or that are concerned about my woman hanging out with some other guys. We're just out there with a bunch of ladies doing what we love to do. So it's more about...
No, I never looked at it. I never looked at it from that perspective. Come on, but I got to tell you a coyote thing. what do you call it? And God, if I could find the picture, I'd show it to you. Man. You know, I've been involved with firearms one way or another pretty much all my life, and somebody was going coyote hunting and they wanted me to set up they were shooting a shotgun, and they wanted me to set up a shotgun. I set up a shotgun for them with a light, so that when they called in the coyote, they could put the light on him with the shotgun. And it wasn't a pretty device. It was pretty cobby. But he sat there and did the dead rabbit call. And in the dark. And when he heard the coyote come in. It was yipping when it came in. And he put the light on. And he shot the coyote at 10 feet.
Mm.
At 10 feet.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
The coyote wanted to eat him. Thought he was the dying rabbit. So yeah, that's what happens when you...
Yeah, I just spoke to a fellow the other day who's going to take me and a couple of the ladies that I want to hunt with out to teach us how to.
Okay.
I talked to him about it, and he said he'd be more than happy to do it. But the thing about coyote hunting is you've always got to be ready for anything, because they really are coming in. If you've got a rabbit call out there, if you're making the rabbit sound, they're coming to eat. And I mean, then you've got the males that they fight. There's just different times and different seasons that they're coming in to do different things. So you pretty much need to be ready for anything. And it sounds super intense, but there is a lot to learn. And I'm not about to go out there and just educate all the coyotes around here because I'm doing everything wrong. So I'm going to go learn from
where
somebody.
Are you going? Where are you going to go coyote hunting?
I'm not exactly sure yet.
All right.
Around here.
Let me tell you what my issue is.
We get to learn about one of Frank's issues. He said we were going to get to this.
One of my issues. I would call in coyotes on your property.
Mm-hmm.
I would call in coyotes on John's property. I wouldn't call in coyotes on my property. Because I don't want them there.
Okay.
I don't want them there.
But they're already there.
Maybe.
They are. I saw one on my camera, which is not far from yours.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one on my camera at 7:30 in the morning.
Coyote?
Yes. And then he was there two nights later, the same place.
You know what I have coming
there.
In? You know what I have coming in? That came in a couple of times. And I saw them firsthand when I was deer hunting. Gray fox.
Mm-hmm.
Gray fox. Big gray fox. Big gray fox. These things looked like, man, they had to be 15 pounds. They were decent sized animals.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, I mean, because, you know, you can't always see something fast and stuff like that, or you see a tail. I'm wondering if I saw a small coyote.
My daughter's got chickens and ducks and geese and all that stuff, and we live in a small, it's a little small subdivision, what they call it, a subdivision, and right at the end, there's two cul-de-sacs, and in the middle of the two cul-de-sacs where the roads meet, there's a den. Right there in the woods, probably 10 feet off of the road. It's a coyote den. The coyote has come up in our front yard before. There are coyotes everywhere.
Coyotes were there before you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
As long as we make that clear.
But they're multiplying like crazy. They mess up the turkey population. There's good reason to take them out, so. Not all of them. I'm not saying take all of them out, but an appropriate amount. So.
A lot of coyotes, though, huh?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to learning about it and being able to take some ladies out. Like I said in the video that we just did with the coon hunt, I found a pot of gold. I mean, to be able to have other ladies who enjoy doing the same things that
well,
I do.
Good.
And want to go traipse around the woods in the middle of the night. And it's a safe environment for all of us. We don't have any husbands wondering, I wonder what she's doing at the bar tonight. We're not doing that stuff. We're just, we're out in the woods having a good time.
At the bar. The bar.
Is that where you want to go right now?
No, I don't want to go to the bar. Matter of fact, I'm kind of adverse to bars, but that's, except I come here. I come here. Half of the time I don't even drink, though. But anyway, yeah, Coyotes get pretty big. Mm-hmm. How big are the ones you've seen?
The one on my camera? Oh, that one was surprisingly large. They usually, I think, get about anywhere from 30 to 50 pounds. This one was probably pushing 60. It was a big one.
That's a big animal.
It is, yes.
That's a big animal.
Yeah. Well, so what I've found with the raccoon hunt that I recently did, the ladies' raccoon hunt,
yeah.
I had women messaging me and messaging the other ladies, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And then I've had other women come to me and say, I want to do this, but I've never shot a gun before. I said, well, I'm not going to take you out in the woods to shoot a raccoon before you've ever shot a gun. That's not wise. So then comes the other idea about having a all-women's shooting event.
The good thing is with the coons, you're shooting them up in a tree, thank God.
But still, you're walking around with a loaded gun and you still need to know how to operate it.
You're right.
All the functions
you're
on
right.
it. Yeah.
Listen, you know, you can always give them the Bonnie Fife treatment.
Give them an empty gun?
Give them an empty gun and one bullet. When you see the raccoon in the tree, load the gun and shoot the raccoon.
Yeah, they'll never go hunting with me again.
You
gotta be well equipped. Yeah, so I'm gonna start. I've already spoke with Kevin. We're gonna have an all ladies shooting event where hopefully we'll get some sponsors to provide some. I have a lot of guns myself, but I'd like to be able to. What I'd like to do is have the shooting tables where I have the guns in vices where they cannot be moved. They will stay right there, just like your spindle thing with the with your something like that, and then have the guns. With no ammo, no magazines or anything on a table where they can actually pick them up and check them out without it being dangerous in any way. But actually letting them come out there, pick what kind of gun they like, take some shots and see how it feels and see if they even like shooting in the first place. But
well, when you get to the point, tell me what you need.
10-4.
You know, I'm always good for loners.
Okay. Well, we need bodies too.
Bodies.
We need live bodies. You know, we need people to help man
You need targets? You don't need targets.
No.
Well, you let me know what you're doing and we'll work it out.
Yeah. I mean, before this, we were talking about women's groups and programs and stuff and how it's prejudice.
Well, and listen, that's. And I. If it's the intimidation factor that women feel intimidated if they're in the same genre and participating with men, or I can understand, but I told you, I mean, I compete in competition, you know, shooting competition with women. I've raced motorcycles against women and lost.
But these are the women that I'm talking about haven't shot before. They're new to the sport. So to come in, like, I know that we all can be like this. I'm not putting this just on guys. But really, my husband has this. He thinks that information just automatically transfers from his brain to mine. And then when it doesn't, he's like, "Ugh!" And then I'm like, "Ugh!" So it just doesn't work very well. So if we can get ladies that know what they're doing to help the ones that don't, we tend to be a little bit more patient with each other, a little bit more understanding, and we'll even the ones that don't know what they're doing, they'll even be more open to ask questions and to learn better. So it's not nothing against guys. Some of you guys, I mean, I learned to shoot from guys. I learned to shoot. Like my pistol, when I first got it, I couldn't hit a soda can for anything with that thing. And this other fella, Philip, he taught me how to shoot the pistol. I went from not being able to shoot at all to listening to him and being able to hit every soda can there was. So, I mean, I learned from guys, but not everybody is in the position where they will.
My wife was shooting with a woman's group, and a lady that we know very well. She loaded the magazine of her pistol and was having problem inserting it into the pistol. And she called me over. Do you know how hard it is to get bullets in a magazine backwards? She worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. and she had that magazine loaded backwards.
Oh no. What was your response to her?
Hold on, let me see if I can fix this. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny, and I tell you, I did a, what do you call it? I did a cleaning class for them, and they brought their handguns, and there were three tables in a semicircle, and they were all on the outside, and. Do you think I stepped inside that semicircle? Hell no. Hell no. I walked to each person on that table, and there was 12 of them, and made sure their gun was clear and made sure there was no ammunition there before I ever got in the middle of the thing. That was pretty scary. And that was where the hell was the range? Some range out towards Orangeburg. Also, it's Orangeburg. The guy that owned the range, and you might know him, he used to be a sheriff in Somerville. I forget that. What the hell is his name?
I don't know.
Judy! Forget his first name. It was Freddie Judy's uncle. He was a sheriff in Dorchester, I think. Yeah, but anyway, there's a couple of women's shooting groups around, your approach is unique in that it's hunting oriented. These other people are shooting paper. Mm-hmm. Now, the great thing that you're doing is that you discharge a firearm for a whole bunch of different reasons, and we're only going to talk about recreational stuff here, not defense wise. There's people that like to punch paper. There's people that like to make noise, and then there's people that use firearms for hunting. The people that punch paper, they're playing one game, all right? The people that just like to make noise, I don't know what they're doing. And then what you're doing is you're combining the use of firearms and the ability to use that firearm with outdoor lore and outdoor skills. Because with what you're doing, if you can't shoot, you're useless. And if you can shoot, but you don't know enough about the outdoors and the habits of the animals and how to hunt, you're useless. Mm-hmm. So your what do you call it? Your discipline is multifaceted, and I think that's a whole bunch to take on in one thing. The way you're addressing it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to address it from the firearms aspect, then you're going to take it into the woods, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I want to encourage women to get into the sport. I mean, really, honestly, like the lady that does my nails, she's never shot a gun. She wants to go hunting, but she's never shot a gun. So I asked her, I just went and saw her yesterday. I said, if you had the opportunity to go shoot a gun, would you do it? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm thinking about having a ladies event where I don't know if I'll need to charge for anything or if everything will be provided. I really haven't gotten that far into it. I do believe that everything could be provided and it could be something where people just show up and they get behind a gun and they shoot and see if it's something that they like. But a lot of people don't really have that opportunity to do that. A lot of gun ranges, you have to have your own guns.
Well, this what do you call it? This, from a selfish aspect, women shooters are very, very important, and women sportsmen are very, very important. because they are voters. All right? A lot of the people that are voting and are supporting anti-gun causes are doing so out of ignorance.
Right.
And just to prove that fact, all you got to do is look at Congress. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of morons, all right? They don't know...
They don't know that there actually has to be somebody behind the gun and the person makes the choice, not the gun.
They don't know what's involved in owning firearms and using firearms. And the examples that are given to them, in many cases, are examples that consist of a very, very small minority of firearms users, because they're presented with people that are using firearms incorrectly or illegally. And that's what they're presented with. And
the ignorance, the word ignorance isn't a cut. A lot of people take it as a cut. It's not a cut. It just means you don't know. And there's a lot of things that I'm ignorant in a lot of subjects. We're all ignorant in a lot of subjects.
When it comes to our new vehicles, we're all ignorant.
Amen.
If you push the button and that son of a gun don't start, now what? I mean, I had to go and pay young Mr. Charles yesterday to make the tire pressure monitoring system say what tire is what. All right? Because I had a low tire, but it says that's tire. Maybe the sensor's bad. Oh, no. That sensor is reading that one. Yeah, all right. Charles, just straighten it up. So, yes, we're all uneducated in some aspects.
My point is I don't hold it against people for not knowing.
Sorry. I have to disagree with you. If you're a legislator and you're making a law, you make it your business to know. Don't tell me you grew up in the city and you never had a firearm, or you never had any experience with firearms, but you're going to make laws to regulate them. No.
You've got a point. Absolutely. I can agree with that.
I mean,
You should know, but I don't know. There's so many different people that grow up in different situations.
Then you get, what do you call it? I mean, we used to call them...
That'd be like saying only hunters can be in the legislative. That'd be like saying only...
No. People have to... You need subject matter experts. That's what we used to call. I worked my whole life doing things I knew nothing about. Nothing about. I'd have to find a subject matter expert, somebody to teach me how to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
All right? Or to tell me how something works so I can decide what to do with it. That's what they need. But they don't need subject matter experts that are anti-gun lobbyists, you know what I mean? Like the Gifford Foundation, or this woman that had her, what do you call it, the one that was a congresswoman from Long Island. I mean, no, we need real subject matter experts. We need facts.
All comes down to try it before you knock it. Yeah.
I ain't touching that one.
I'm talking about the shooting realm.
I ain't touching that one. I gotta tell you something. The funny thing was, I took the 44 Magnum out the other day. Gonna make you laugh. I needed some cases. I had a box of ammunition. 44 Magnum pistol ammunition used to come in 20-round case and 20-round boxes, all right?
Okay.
The price on the box, the 20-round box, was $5.70.
What?
All right. And it was Supervel. Premium ammunition. High.
When was this?
Wait a minute. So this box of ammunition had a price on it of $5.70. And there were 8 rounds left in there. But there was a sticker on the side of the box, because that wasn't the first time that box of ammunition was shot. I had reloaded that box of ammunition a couple of times, all right? But I had 8 rounds left, and I needed the brass because I got to reload it again. And I looked at the sticker on the box. Last time I reloaded that brass was 1978.
Oh, wow. That's a while ago.
I've been doing it a couple of years. You think I got it right? I didn't blow my face off yet, so I guess I'm okay. But, I used to load shit pretty high. I don't do that anymore. This pistol, I was shooting it off a sandbag because I just wanted to see what the quality of the ammunition was. And, both ends of that pistol can hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
you better hold on to that son of a gun.
I was afraid of handguns for a while because of that.
Yeah.
I always saw the videos where the women shoot and they knock themselves in the nose and break their nose.
Listen, I've seen grown men do that.
Yeah.
I've seen grown men do that. And I'm not talking about little skinny spindly guys. I mean, I've seen guys 350 pounds. Mm. Put a dot in their forehead for having poor form and not knowing what the hell they're doing. And a matter of fact, the previous owner of this gun sold it for that reason. He whacked himself in the head with it. Yeah. But we were gonna talk about disagreeing with women. Having separate groups for different sports and sporting and stuff like that, and I was about to disagree with you. I think that there's a point when you meet with these people that have no previous experience, and the more they find that they're gonna enjoy it, and the more that they gain competency in handling the tools and the environment that they're going to be. And listen, we don't need to do this for subsistence. We do this for recreation. So we could say, call it playing in this environment. As soon as they become competent in this environment that they're playing in, I would love to see them go into a mixed gender group.
Oh, yeah.
And compete and kick some guy's ass, you know? It's just like I told you. I've got my butt kicked by women numerous times. I got in on the pistol range. I've lost to women racing motorcycles. Unless it involves an incredible amount of brute strength and we're sharing bathrooms, I mean, you know, there is no need for gender segregation once the competency is met.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. I actually am. I went to my first air gun competition a couple months ago.
Did you really?
I did, and I didn't know anything about dope and a scope until after that.
Dope the scope?
Yeah, whatever it's called. Dope. It's kind of funny. But anyways, I didn't know anything about that.
What, you were outdoors?
Yes, I was shooting an FX dynamic 30 caliber air gun. And I just had a basic Hawk Vantage on there. And I didn't dope. I took some shots at 60 yards before the competition started. Saw where I was hitting at 60 yards. And there was 7 different lanes. And each lane had 3 to 4 different targets at different distances, starting at 35 all the way to 150. It was, it was quite the range. And so I went to this competition thinking...
They have wind flags?
Yes. I went there thinking, this is just going to be fun. I'm here to learn and see how it goes. And the top score was 500. No, the person scored 480. But then... I scored 210.
Yeah, listen.
But
let me tell you, give you the wind lesson. Either you're going to learn to shoot wind or you're not going to learn to shoot wind. It's tough.
I wasn't even worried about that.
You got to worry about it. You know why? You're shooting a projectile that's relatively slow and ballistically inferior. It does not have a good ballistic coefficient. Wind affects it dramatically.
I know this, but that one I was just going just to learn, to watch what other people were doing. Everybody else had their dope, and I was the only one that didn't.
Now, you're gonna get the lesson that it took me 100 years to learn. You see that wind flag out there? That wind flag halfway between you and your target? Mm-hmm. You got to respect that wind flag. You gotta account for how much that wind is gonna move that bullet. But you know what's more important? The wind is in your face. If you feel wind coming across your face, don't shoot. Because the wind that's coming across your face, you're shooting minutes of angle. All right? You know when you adjust your scope, a minute of angle is approximately a half inch at 50 yards, 1 inch at 100 yards, an inch and a half at 150 yards. So now you're shooting a minute of angle. If that wind is blowing across your face, you just created an angle for that bullet to move across that target. A 10-mile-an-hour wind close to your target will affect your bullet less than a 10-mile-an-hour wind in your face, because that 10-mile-an-hour wind is going to move that bullet across your face, but it's going to also move a minute of angle.
Right.
So you respect that wind flag that's out there and you can account for it, but if that wind is blowing across your face, sneeze, cough, make believe something's wrong, don't shoot. And then when the wind dies, just keep shooting as fast as you can. When you have a condition and you know that you've accounted for that condition, that you can shoot accurately under that condition, just shoot as fast as you can and take advantage of the environment. That's one thing we never have to account for when we're hunting. I mean, I never hunt that far. Would I hunt 50 yards maybe?
Yeah.
I've got
another competition coming up in 2 weeks.
Good.
In Georgia.
Good.
So I'm going to be shooting the same gun. They told me this time, since I know I'll have my dope taken care of, however you say it, I don't know yet, but I did a video on learning how to do that, and they said now that I know that I'm not allowed to come back to the competitions.
No.
Because they think I did.
They're gonna qualify it.
Well, they are pretty impressed with what I did without being able to dope my scope, so...
I'm a hunter.
I'm used to, like, I'll look at something and I'll be like, okay, my gun sighted in at 50 yards. I just need to raise it such and such at 100. So that's kind of what I went with the targets out there. And I don't think I did.
Did you make a, what do you call it? Did you make a chalk for yourself?
Not yet. I'm going to.
All right. don't be, what do you call it?
Don't be a dope.
No. Don't be shy. If you look at my hunting rifles?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we agree on this, that we don't shoot at game. We shoot at a specific point on that game. All right?
Okay.
So we're shooting at a point. All right? In order to shoot at that point, whatever we're shooting has to be pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Get some blue painter's tape. Put some blue painter's tape right on the side of the stock and make your notes. All right? Make your notes. For an instance, I got a gun. If I'm shooting close, you know what the story is when you shoot close. Now you have to account for the height of the scope above the center line of bore. All right, so holy shit! If I'm shooting close, I'm going to be shooting half an inch low. So I have all the way out to 100 yards, I'll have notes on my right on the stock on blue painter's tape. So, and that's great. That's great because that you went and you tested your that rifle that you're going to shoot at all those ranges. You can do everything empirically. You can look at charts. And if I have to go and if I have to shoot at the range and I have to shoot 500 yards, and I've only and the gun is sighted at 100, yes, I got apps on my phone, and I'll just see, you know, plug everything in, and that's great. But you're not going to do that out in the field.
No, you see people with like little rubber bands and a little piece of paper attached to their turrets. You see all kinds of stuff out there. Different things work for different people.
Now you're gonna have to. You're gonna, what do you call it?
Depends on how fast
you're gonna shoot a gun. You're gonna shoot a gun with target turrets on it.
Yeah.
All right. Just you got a zero stop.
Yep.
All right. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. Do your dope sheet. Put it right on the gun. Tape it right. Tape it right. Blue paint this tape. It's great.
Right across. Right on the scope. Right.
No. No, I'm going to tell you what I've done though. I've sighted a rifle in at a match. I would practice on this range before the match, and then I would take a picture of my turrets on my camera, on my phone, just in case when I took the gun out of the case or in the case. If the turrets got banged around, I'd have a record of where it was when I sighted in. And we've won some pretty interesting matches, and in very unconventional manners. And use your own. Just because other people do it doesn't mean that that's right. You know what you want to do. Think outside the box. All right. We used to shoot at half-size man-size silhouettes. You know, the military silhouettes? Yeah. Half-size. All right? The head was so many points. The chest was so many points. But the head is small. The chest is big. Now, you're taking black crosshairs, and you're putting them on the chest. You want to shoot for the chest because you want to take the shot that you can get less points, but you have a better chance of getting more consistent points, all right? But you can't put the crosshairs on the chest because you have no contrast. Have no contrast. So here's what you do. When you sight, dope, right? When you sight the rifle, make the horizontal crosshair across the head. It's white here, the head is black here. So when that horizontal crosshair rests right on the top of the head, the bullet falls right down into the chest. You just offset your scope by 12 inches at 300 yards. All right? So what did you do? You thought outside the box. You took a situation where it sucks, man. You have no contrast. You can't put those crosshairs on anything. You can't see. All right? Well, you know what? Take a spot on that target where you do have contrast and just dope your scope. I got the trophy to show you. I mean, it works. The other thing is you might get Mirage. Did you get Mirage when you were out there last time?
What is that?
You'll get it. The sun will come off the ground.
Oh.
And you get waves like this. And your target will be going like this.
Yeah, no, I don't. All right. I didn't get that.
If you get it, expect it. Expect it. You're going to get it. Aim for the center of the mirage. Ignore the target moving. Ignore the target will move on you. It'll go left to right like this. All right? Shoot for the middle of the mirage. All right? Chances are the mirage is going to come from the side that the wind is coming from. So that means if it's moving, if the mirage is moving right to left, the wind is coming from the right. So you're going to want to offset a little bit more to the right so that the wind that's causing, that's going to, what do you call it, that's affecting the mirage, is going to drop your bullet into the bullseye. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Hey, Johnny, what do we got? We're good?
Yeah, you're filling me with too much information. I can't handle it all.
You'll handle it all. The biggest thing is blue painter's tape. Put it right on the stock. Right on the stock. Find out what ranges you're going to be shooting at.
I'm thinking I might just put it on my hand.
You can. You can put it on your hand. You can put it on the thing. But you know what?
Because I'm slow. I'm very slow to take the time to turn my gun or turn my...
You know what, though? If you put it on your stock, you're not going to forget it.
I won't forget it on my hand either. I'm not leaving my hand anywhere.
Well, no. You're going to have to write it on your hand. You're gonna have to do this. You're going to have to set this up before you ever go to the match.
Yeah.
All right? That's why I'm saying. Well, look, write it on your stock. You won't forget it because you're not going to forget the rifle. Then write it on your hand. All right? They make things to go on your wrist.
Like the NFL.
Yeah. They make things to go on your wrist.
That's a good idea.
It all works.
That is a really good idea. But I might just do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Angie.
I'll let you know how the competition goes.
Well, let me know. Let me know how, I mean, you know.
All those guys' butts.
Humble those guys getting beat by a girl.
Oh, there was quite a bit of them that reached out to me afterwards the last time, and there were some Army snipers in there that I beat. They were...
Well... The match that I refer to that we where we're shooting for the top of the head and letting the ball drop down. I sent the Marines home.
I really think it just...
You can have a good day.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be cocky or anything or think I'm great, but I really think that the attitude that you bring with you in the whole is the biggest factor. If you go in there
take your pulse.
9 o'clock.
You have an advantage. You have a slower heart rate.
Oh, well, thanks for...
No, women have slower heart rates, and they have a less pronounced heart rate.
Not when I get excited.
You hear guys saying that they squeeze the trigger between heartbeats. I'm sorry. I've been doing this all my life. I can't squeeze the trigger between heartbeats. All right? But...
I can't even think about what my heart's doing while I'm shooting. I got too much going on in my head.
You better start thinking what your breath is doing. You better start learning to breathe.
I don't know if I agree with that.
If you're going to shoot distance, you better learn to breathe. You are going to squeeze on an exhale. That's it. You'll do it. You might be doing it now. You don't even realize it.
I don't think I am.
Squeeze on an exhale.
That takes too much concentration.
No,
I'm telling you, I lack in a lot of places in concentration and doing multiple things at the same time.
Angie,
it's just not me.
You know when you see those crosshairs on the game, and you see it,
and my heart's doing this.
Yeah. But
don't
what do you see? What do you see? Do you visualize that bullet going to the deer?
Honestly, I don't know. I visualize the deer laying on the ground and swarming around a little bit.
This eye of the tiger. It's so incredible. It's so incredible. You just go through the whole thing, and you just see it happen. It just happens. It works.
I don't have the same experience. I'd like to say I do, Frank, but I'd be a liar if I did. I don't have the same experience. I'm excited. My heart's beating. I'm hoping that I get a shot before it runs off. There's just a lot going on in here. for me to...
You mean it's not like going to work in the morning?
Oh, no.
It's not like getting in a car, starting a car?
Oh, no.
Oh, you're not old enough yet. All right. You're listening to WVFF 97.7 OPFM. This is Red Brick Patriot Radio. I've been sitting here with Airgun Angie, and this is Frank on Target, and we've been talking about all kinds of good stuff, all about the outdoors, and all about Angie's experiences and adventures. And Angie, we're out of here. Thank you again for coming in. And
thank you, Frank.
John, we're out of here.
We here at WVFF thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.